Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight we have another episode of Mages, Sages, and Seers. We're going to open tonight's episode with a song from Virginia Ackley, or Ginger Ackley, as she's better known, called The Golden Bough, because we'll be focusing today on money and prosperity. Greetings and welcome back to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today I am greatly honored on Mages, Sages, and Seers to be talking to the one and only Maria D'Andrea. The song that we played was Golden Bough by Virginia Ackley, and it's appropriate because today we'll be exploring prosperity and money and all good things having to do with wealth. Greetings and welcome, Maria. How are you?
Wonderful, and thank you so much for having me on your show again. It's always so much fun, and it's such a pleasure, and you're so knowledgeable. I love doing your show.
Thank you. I love having you on the show. You're one of the most positive people I've ever met, and you've written over 65 books, so you're also one of the more knowledgeable people I've ever met. So it's always great to have you on. Now, you've written a lot of books having to do with prosperity. One of them is the Heaven Sent Money Spells, but you've also written a bunch of other books on the subject. One of them even had a genie in the title. I was trying to find a picture of it, but I couldn't locate the picture for the show. But you've written quite a lot on how people can feel and be more prosperous.
Well, I always look at it as the better you do, the better people around you do. So my outlook is the more people you and I can help, because you're very good at that, the more people you and I can help, because we also teach, the better the world gets, because they'll improve, they'll do better, they'll help other people. It's that domino effect. So it makes us all feel good.
It's a very ancient thing, equating prosperity with spirituality. I'll share a story that most people don't know. And appropriating the cattle of Triple-Baridid Geryon, which was the 10th labor of the Theban Hercules, he camped out near the Tiber River. There he defeated a local monster, Cacus, and Cacus means bad guy in Greek, by the way, who habitually stole random cattle from the vicinity and routinely committed vile atrocities as well. Afterwards, the Theban Hercules revitalized local trade by establishing a cattle market. This venture was successful and brought great prosperity to the region. A great altar, the Ara Maximus, was erected to honor him after he left. Visiting Greeks honored him in their own way, and in time there were two altars and then two temples in this area of Italy. The Romans, who appropriated both the market and the temples and the land, honored our hero as Hercules Invictus. That's where I get my name from, which also translated into Hercules and Hercules Olivarius. And Olivarius, the olives are equated with good health and also victory in the olive wreaths they gave to champions. This Hercules was a benevolent power. After his ascension, he granted, among other favors, good fortune and success to commercial enterprises. And I honor this aspect of the ancient Hercules by being the official greeter of new business for my town's Chamber of Commerce. So whenever new business is up in the area, I go there with the mayor, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, some council people, and we go and we welcome the new business to our town. Well, we cut ribbons, we take pictures. So prosperity and spirituality need not be divided. They're one and the same, and they're part of our life, both as individuals and as communities.
Oh, that is wonderful. I love that. And you're always putting back as much knowledge as you have. I love that you're always putting back and you're helping people. And you really do that from the heart, because I find many people that have become successful in their profession, their personal life, in whatever area, you know, they forget about helping other people and how they got there. So I really believe that whatever you put out comes back. I think karma owes you. I really do.
If we look at it that way, like you said, we do it from our heart. And
that's the only way it comes back. I always laugh when people do something to help someone because they want something back, and then they're surprised that it doesn't come back because they didn't do it from the heart. They missed the whole point. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
And it's funny, we're talking about different cultures, and I find, like, I do – one of the things that I do is rune casting, R-U-N-E. So, you know, I'm a shaman through Budapest, through Hungary. So one of the runes for lack of a better term, its symbol or a sigil for readings and for the occult side of it. It's called Fehu. It looks a little bit like the letter F, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Fehu basically represented money in the barter system, because Fehu also represents money, but it represents cattle when you think of the horns. And they looked at it as a barter system. So they weren't working with cash the way we do nowadays, but to them, cattle represented money, because the more cattle you had, the more abundance you had, and the more you could feed your family. So it's funny, when you look at the ancient systems, they were all working on abundance, but from different angles and different forms. So whatever they called it, it was still the barter system, because even now, people don't connect it, but when you're paying for something at a store, technically you're bartering, because you're paying with cash, but you're getting something back, you know, whatever the item is. So people just don't connect it like that. But like you were saying, abundance and dealing with the barter system or money or whichever way you're working it, you know, it's still abundance. In fact, there's a goddess called Abundantia. I think it's in my book.
Yes.
There's the goddess, right, Abundantia, that really brings in abundance. So if you ask her to come and help you to heighten the abundance in your life, she actually does. You just have to ask from the heart and be serious about it. Okay.
On my
so
Facebook group for my town, I have a picture of Abundantia and the cornucopia.
Oh, that's funny.
So that's what the
okay,
symbol
not that
group.
You and I are ever in sync. But, no, she's very good like that, and she listens. So very, very positive. You know. I also look at it from, and this is an older system, but they actually use it nowadays. There's an occult law that says like attracts like, which I know you're aware of.
Yes.
And when you look at nowadays, when you look at the rappers, especially the young ones, when you look at them, a lot of times you see them, especially in the beginning, they're wearing all these gold chains and everybody thinks they're doing it out of ego, but they're really not, because in the Baptist churches and some of the, you know, other churches, what they teach is like attracts like, when they're open
right.
on a spiritual level. So the more gold you wear, the more abundance and gold and money you attract. So when they're wearing a lot of that, that's all they're doing, is they're trying to attract. Now, some of them, because it got to be such a big thing with everybody, aren't aware of why they're wearing it. But originally, they were doing that consciously.
Mm-hmm.
And in older times, what they would do is they, and this one's in my book somewhere, but they would wear a gold chain, and then on the gold chain, they would have seven rings, you know, gold rings. Now, it didn't actually have to be gold. It just has to be that color to represent gold.
Right.
And they would wear that to attract finance and abundance in whatever form they needed it at that time. So it's a really old system, and people keep updating. It still works in different forms, because it's still like attracts like.
Yes, a lot of
people just don't connect it.
The like attracts like. There's a lot of information about it. It came out. It was popularized as The Secret most recently. Earlier than that, the New Thought movement, there was the Law of Attraction. It is an old system, but a lot of people now don't take steps necessary, you know, to help things manifest. A lot of people
right.
are under the impression that just because you've spoken to a divine power or you're performing a spell, then you could just sit back and things will come. And they sometimes do, you know. But often what will happen is if you start moving towards this goal and doing what you can, you'll get a lot of synchronicities. You'll get a lot of doors suddenly opening. But if you sit and wait on the couch and watch TV, it'll take a much longer time for this thing to come to you. You're not giving it an opportunity to come to you.
Well, this is really funny. I had a wonderful client years ago, wonderful, wonderful gentleman. And he used to come to me for classes. And I was teaching, you know, like attracts like, and we were working on finance and abundance in that class. And he called me up one day and he said that he lost his job, you know, because the company went under, not because of anything he did, but the company went under and he had to job hunt. Mm-hmm. So we were working out what he can do on the metaphysical level to attract money, but to attract a new job. And he calls me up about a month later and he said, you know, there's nothing coming in. He's really upset. He doesn't understand why it's not working. Maybe we need to tweak it. And I said to him, did you look in the paper? Did you get on a computer? What did you do to go and look? So like you said, he said, well, he figured it was coming to him because he was manifesting. So he didn't actually look for a job. He just figured that he'd get a call at some point. And I keep explaining to people, we need to work on both realities. So if you're putting out energy to attract something into your life, you need to work on it. You actually need to go and look. You need to job hunt. The difference is you'll get the right one at the right fee.
Right.
Where you're going to really like the job instead of you got something just because it's there and you don't like it, you're not getting paid enough. So it just changes the level. Same thing with emotions. You know, if you're always angry and you're always upset at the world, and then you wonder why you don't have a positive romantic relationship, all you can ask, attract are the same type of people. You're not mm-hmm. going to attract somebody positive because somebody positive will not feel comfortable with you.
Right.
So you have to put out more love and actually care about people. So you really have to work both realities all the time. It's like when you're working with overall success, whether it's emotional, financial, in all different levels. Okay, when you're working from that, as an example with, say, community work, because we're trying to help people and put back, right, or volunteering. But basically, anything dealing with success, fortune, money, really, you would start on a Sunday if you're doing a ritual or if you're starting to work on it. The best day is Sunday because Sunday is overall success for anything and everything. So if you
right.
wouldn't know what day to start something, you would always start on a Sunday. If you're working on money, which is different, you know, finance, money, luck is an example, okay, and just abundance in general, you would do that on a Thursday because that's the vibration for that because it connects to Jupiter. So that's luck, money, gambling. Actually, it's funny, too, because it also connects to education, you know, which I never understood quite why in the middle of the luck and money. Sometimes it's just funny, but, you know, if you're going to make money in business, you really have to be a little smarter, so it actually really does connect. Okay, so when you're looking at that and you're looking for abundance, really, Thursday is your best day. So even though I tell people these are your best days to start for certain situations, I don't want them to misunderstand it as that's the only time. It's not.
Right.
We can manifest any time we want. The difference is sometimes we want to give it that little extra battery charger. That's all that is. Gives it that little extra push. But technically, we can manifest at any point.
That it's funny that you should mention this particular way of doing things. That's one of my primary ways of doing things. In ancient Greek, it was called imeron timi, honoring the mm-hmm. days of the week. And the days of the week are named after, you know, are associated with the planets. And,
exactly.
And the planets
like Thursday,
are
Jupiter, you know,
yes,
Sunday is what? Yeah.
So
Sunday deals with Leo. So, yeah.
Who the god you needed to talk to was. So love mm-hmm. is Friday because Aphrodite or Venus or Freya were Friday. That's
right.
Why that day is the day for love. And for communication, it's Wednesday. Which was translated as Woden's Day or Odin's Day, but in the Greek it was Hermes, and in the Roman it was Mercury. So
actually, most people know it's connected to Mercury. They forget that it's connected not only to Mercury.
Uh huh.
You know, like Sunday is the sun. You know,
right.
Monday's the moon. So we do work with that a lot of times. But I just don't want people to misunderstand it because I know when I'm teaching it, people start going, oh, I have to wait for that day. No, you don't.
Oh, no.
But you know, if you can, it's like having a little extra battery charger. But otherwise, really, it's more your intent and what you're working on.
Right.
You know, and I always look at it as you and I only work positive. And I always look at it as if you put out positive intent, that's how it's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and along the line of using metaphysical tools, which is really what we're talking about at this point for money, there's that stone called pyrite. And it's also called fool's gold. And you can actually get that if you go to like a gemstone store, you know, lapidary. So you just need a tiny, tiny bit. People always tell you the bigger the stone is, the more it attracts. No, it doesn't. It's vibrational. So
right.
You can get a little tiny piece, and you can throw it in your wallet, your pocketbook, near, say, if you have a cash register, because pyrite actually attracts money and finance, just like the gold chain when people were wearing that.
Yeah.
So pyrite will actually literally attract. It's like a magnet.
There's another stone. I forget what it was called. It's yellow, yellowish orange, and that attracts money too. And when I was exploring stones, I was teaching at a metaphysical store that sold gemstones, and
yes,
I was.
Citrine will do that.
Citrine, yes. I worked
yes, citrine,
with
that yellow stone.
Writing a book about stones, so I was very into it at the time, and I was told that the citrine, if you have it in your wallet will always have money in it. So I put a piece of citrine
yeah.
in my wallet, and it's been true. And if it's running low on money, I'll find like the last time I found a $50 bill in the on the ground in front of me when my money was running low in my wallet. So it's worked like a charm ever since I put it there.
It's really funny because I find we use all these little tools and that they actually work. And I
yeah.
find either attracts money or the opportunity to make money.
Right.
Or sometimes it's funny. It just comes. And there's no way to explain that to people. As an example, and you're going to laugh at this one because you and I know we always work on the occult side in a positive way. But there's a formula in my book. And it's funny, depending on who you're talking to, it's a spell, it's a formula, same thing. It's an ancient ritual. So it's actually for quick money. So what you would do is you go somewhere where at the new moon, again, it just adds on. But this one, you have to do it in a new moon. And you draw a triangle in the sand or dirt, whatever's near you. And at the left bottom corner, you place a glass of water. And on the right corner, you basically put incense. It's called rue, R-U-E.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that anywhere pretty much. And at the top, you actually place in change $1.90. There's a vibration to numerology and numbers, as we all know. Okay. And what you do is you focus on your money building, because remember, it's a pyramid, and you're actually
right.
seeing it growing in the center, okay, within that triangle. And triangle represents motion, among other things. And then you ask for your intent to work through the elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And you get very focused on it. And when you're done, you're done. With the incense and with the water, you want to make sure you throw it away outside your home. You never bring that back into your house because it's like canceling it.
Okay.
So I have some formulas that get a little bit more ritualistic or complicated. And then I have ones that are very, very easy, like carrying the pyrite. Because at different points, we have different interests in our lives and what we would like to be doing, okay? So we want complicated, we want easy, we want things where you're just carrying something, and a lot of it really is intent behind it. So as an example, I had this wonderful gentleman as a client, and he was doing one of the spells out of the book, and he was telling me that throughout his lifetime, he never had enough money. He always was a little bit short on at least one bill, always. And he couldn't figure out what was going on with it, and he had a really good heart. He genuinely wanted to help people, so it's not like you were dealing with a negative person. And a lot of it, when you track things, it turned out that when he was growing up, his parents always said, not to him, but to everybody, you know, there's never enough money.
Right.
Now, they might not have meant it literally, but when he was little and that's all he heard, it kind of stuck with him. So once we realized that, Then we started focusing on putting out, actually seeing a money tree. Okay. Now, if you're seeing a money tree in your mind all the time, you're seeing it where you could see, say, $100 bills instead of leaves. You could see the tree is actually made out of gold, you know, whichever way you want to look at a money tree. And he kept visualizing that, and I kept saying to him, you need to focus on, I always have enough and more. And after a couple of months, it really took a couple of months because actually he had years of that ingrained in him. So a few months really is short for the situation. And everything turned around, and he actually ended up owning his own business. I was so proud of him.
I'm proud of him too.
I love when things go well.
Yeah, there's a lot. Changing the way you look at the world often changes your world because we're told a lot
definitely.
Of things. Children, and we don't know any better, so we accept it. And we take it as a truth where it's actually somebody's opinion. And if we really look at these things, we see that some of these opinions, like on happiness, were given by unhappy people, or some of the suggestions about money were given by people who were having a lot of difficulty with money. So the truths aren't even true. They're the mistaken beliefs that others have gifted us and we accepted. And that if you change that belief, your reality will change.
Well, definitely. I always say, if you change your mind, you change your life.
Yes.
You really do, because it's really an outlook. And sometimes you need somebody to work with so that you can figure out what you're putting out, because we're always better for others, all of us, and it's really difficult sometimes to see something in your own life because, you know, it's more ingrained. So
it's
sometimes we need a little help from each other. And like I said, with the class, when I did that with him, you know, it didn't occur to him that he was hearing that most of his childhood growing up. They weren't telling it to him, but they were talking to other adults and other people. But because he was hearing it all the time, he just expected it to go like that. So once you realize something's in your life and you change it, and this is the funny part. I found when I wrote the book, I tried to mention you don't have to believe it to create it.
Right.
Because it just, you keep putting out to the universe, my life is getting better and better. And eventually the universe goes, oh, okay, I got it. And your life starts getting better. So you don't have to believe it, but you have to focus on it. So your intent has to be very focused and very positive.
Right.
You know, if you're doing something for selfish reasons, honestly, that doesn't mean it won't hit. It really doesn't mean that. But it does mean it's not going to go well. Something is going to go wrong with it. Or it's not going to last, you know. And sometimes it'll last, but your life is not going to go as well in different areas because you did it from a negative point. You know, if you're going to be somebody that's a landlord in one of the apartment buildings and you don't care if people have heat or they don't have heat, you're only going to make money for so long. The universe is going to come and get you.
In some way.
Yeah, you know, not negatively. It just might be that. You know, the business goes down, something else. It's not that it's going to hurt you, but it's not going to work as positive as somebody doing it from the heart and helping people. And then that's going to build and increase, and then they will truly have abundance.
And the universe has a sense of humor and a particular way of teaching lessons. I've shared this story a million times. I might have shared it with you in our conversations a million times, but it bears repeating. When I was experimenting with some new manifestation techniques, one of the things I said to the universe was, I want millions of dollars pouring into my life. So within a few days, millions of dollars did start pouring into my life, but it wasn't real money. It was play millions of dollars. So it was like $1 million that come with like an advertisement, or on the candy bar wrapper, or, you know, and they all said $1 million on them. And it never happened to me before, but for days and days and days, these things kept popping up in not only in my life, but in my hands, you know, they wind up coming to me. So it wasn't exactly what I wanted, but it's something is indeed listening, because this had never happened before like this, and it happened now, but something about it said no to real millions of dollars flowing into it. But it showed me that something
can be very specific.
Yes.
And, you know, even when we think that, we have to be a little bit more focused.
Yes. Another thing, less dramatic, but with real money, it happened a couple of times. Once when I was young, I was a deep trance medium, and I didn't take enough money to get on the bus to go back home to New Jersey. I used to get sittings in Manhattan. So I was wondering how I was going to get the money to get home, and some money flew before me. And it was it was exactly the amount I needed to take the train and then take the bus into Jersey and go home. And another time I wanted these lions for my altar, and they were very expensive. I had the money, but I didn't want to allocate it toward the lions. So two $100 bills floated past me. So I had the money to buy the lions, and I did.
That's funny.
Again, the universe is responsive, and sometimes it'll give you exactly what you want, and sometimes it'll give you something else, but it'll show you that something's paying attention.
This is a funny story too. I was at a car show. You know, I like cars and things. I was at a car show, and one of the cars they had at a car show was a Monte. So I'm looking at this car, and it was really nice. You know, one of those things, it didn't occur to me I'm ever going to buy, right? So it's a Monte Carlo, it looked really nice. And I was thinking, you know, I really wish I had something like this. I really love the car. And I forgot about it, but I was really focused for that minute because it was a hot-looking car. So about a year later, a friend of mine was a mechanic. So he owned a shop. He had a lot of cars. People would drop cars off. They'd never pay him. He'd end up owning them legally, you know, through the DMV and everything. And I had a birthday, and he gave me an older Monte Carlo SS, which has everything on it at the car show, did not have. And he said to me, since we've been friends for a really, really long time, and he said it doesn't have any meaning to him because he has tons of cars. It's not like he bought it. It's just that the person never picked it up, and there was nothing wrong with it. He went over the whole car to make sure it was fine, and he gave me the papers. I would have never consciously worked on that, you know. But at the time that I saw it, I was really, really focused on that car for a couple of minutes. So, honestly, you never know how it's going to come.
No, you don't.
Yeah. And I truly believe that as long as you're doing things from the heart and as long as you stay positive, the universe tries to work with you. So that doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. It just means we don't do anything negative on purpose. Okay, because we all make mistakes.
Oh, that is very, very true. We all make mistakes. We all wish we'd done things a little differently. But the fact is, at the time we do things that we later believe are mistakes, if we're sincerely trying to do our best, that was the best we could do at the time with who we were and what we knew and what choices we had. So even with the best of intentions, sometimes you're going to make a mistake in judgment because you don't know any better.
Oh, of course. And because we're human. So I find that as long as we're trying to do our best, because when you look back and you start going, oh, I could have done this better in this way. But at that time, you didn't know that way.
Right.
And actually, one of the things we were talking about a while ago are words of power. And I find when you're attracting finance into your life, as opposed to just in general abundance, which includes that, there's a power word because power words have vibrational effect on the universe. So you really need to do them verbally. People kind of look at it as, well, maybe I can do it mentally. Some things you can. Power words are really vibrational. Mm-hmm. And again, you can do that by yourself in a little room or when you're taking a walk. It doesn't mean you have to be loud about it in front of people, right? So when you're attracting money, one of the main words to attract money is the word count, C-O-U-N-T. So it's really funny when you think of society. If you go to the bank, you're counting money. The teller is counting money. If you're going to the supermarket and you're buying food, somebody's counting money.
Right.
Right? So in society, we actually use that word a lot. People just don't think about it. So if you use the word count, you know, and just repeat it a couple of times, if you use that word on and off, it will actually attract money. It's funny how that works. It just, you need to know what you're doing. So if you use it in that form, it actually starts attracting finance. So I have days, because, you know, this is what I do full-time, spiritual,
right,
psychic, and paranormal fields. So I don't have a 9-to-5 job. But every now and then I can walk around going, count, 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 count. And my money picks up. I'm like, okay. It's funny how that works. But it'll probably pick up faster with you and I, because we've been doing it for so long. Our intent is more intense than somebody that just did it for the first time. It still works. It just might take a little bit longer.
Right. And I find one of the things that works very well with me is to see the result that, you know, that I want in my mind. And
right,
to not so much pretend that it's already real, but just imagine, you know, like spend time,
right,
in your head being there. And then what happens, right, is you start, if you know where there is, opportunities pass by all the time, but we let them go because we don't see how they apply to us. But if you're already there,
yeah,
in a wonderful place, it's like, ooh, this will take me there. So before you know it, I found even the most difficult things take like a year and a half. The most difficult things in my life have taken like a year, year and a half to manifest in this way. And just, again, live in the perfect place and then take advantage of opportunities that pass all the time. And each one brings you closer. And then in a year, year and a half, sometimes a matter of months, you're there. And your whole reality shifted painlessly. And you didn't have to slave or work hard or sacrifice or, you know, struggle or suffer. You know, you just knew where you were going, and you know, you had a destination in mind, and the universe helped steer you toward that destination. And a lot of people say no to the opportunities that'll bring them closer to where they want to go,
because they don't see it. Because some things are just a stepping stone.
Yes.
You know, and you know, when I have adult sons, and when they were little, I was in an apartment, you know, I was on my own, and I was in an apartment, and I was very focused on attracting a house. Now, considering like what I do for a living, that's a 9-to-5 job, and I was very focused, and in the meantime, obviously, I was always working in the spiritual field, and, you know, I would donate time and volunteer, because we do need to put back in some form. And I actually bought a house 3 years later, which I can't explain to people, because there's no logic to it. It just, the opportunity came, a really great buy, and by then I actually had the money for it, which I can't explain to people how I got that either. Because logically, it wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
It just, everything fell into place, but it took me 3 years. The difference, and my kids point this out to me a lot of times, is that when I'm focused, I am very focused. So if I have a definite goal, and we do the same thing, if I have a definite goal, even if I get sidetracked by life, as soon as I'm done with that situation, I'm right back on my goal.
The only reason
I don't reach a goal is because I changed my mind. But
right,
eventually I will get there. It would be nice if I got there in 2 minutes, but that doesn't usually happen.
No, it doesn't, but it does come. I remember one time I decided I wanted a TV show, and I didn't. I took acting. I never took journalism. I really, you know, I done a lot of good things, but nothing that would warrant giving me a TV show. But I decided I wanted a TV show. So I always asked myself, okay, I lived in my head and I had a TV show and I would do programming, scheduling. I'd get guests and, you know, I would do all these things in my head and live it in my head. And then I got a notebook and I'd write down ideas that came down. And around a year and a quarter later, somebody invited me to give a talk on the UFOs. So
nice.
I was invited to go on their television show. So when I got there, she was really upset. So I was like, what happened? And she goes, oh, my partner she was scarfed up by Jenny Jones, you know, and now she can't do the TV show anymore. And so she says, can you be a co-host on a TV show? Now, she didn't ask me had I done it before, because then I went ahead and say, no, I never did it before. She asked me, could I do it? And I had perfect faith that I could do it. So there you go. I didn't have to do anything except imagine what I wanted. And then the station that we had our TV show on, they were bought by another station. And because I was on a TV show and they liked me and I would appear on other TV shows as a guest, I could talk about a lot of different things, they asked me if they gave me a show, what would the show be? And I had spent a year and a half thinking about exactly this question. So when they asked me, I told them exactly, you know, what I thought about for like a year and a half, a year and a quarter. And there it goes. They told me to do it. And so I had to keep this job for 2 years. And again, I didn't have to suffer or anything. I just needed to have a bright light and to believe that I'll get there. And if I couldn't do anything other than imagine it on that day, then okay, that's what I did. I imagined it to the best of my ability and let it go and felt happy about it and didn't feel victimized, didn't worry about how it was going to come. But I eventually got there and I enjoyed it. And it could even be things like flying a plane. That was on my list of things. And once gave me the opportunity to fly a plane. So I did it for like an hour and a half. It was great. But then I had no desire to ever do it again. I did it, crossed it off my list. But you have to remain open to the opportunities. Life throws so many things at you. But I think in addition to being scared and unbelieving, people believe it's not coming to them in the way that they want.
Right. And it really doesn't always come in the way that you want or you expect. It really doesn't. But I find you're right. What happens is an opportunity might come in that's a stepping stone to what you want, what you're creating. But people don't notice that because it's not exactly what they want. Because I know I had that TV show. I had my own show for a couple of years. And it was really funny because when, I would have guests on and off. And when I was done doing the show, because you get to a point where you've outgrown it and now you're doing other things, you know. And it was really funny because a couple of years later, recently, I was at a supermarket. And at the supermarket, this gentleman walked up to me and he's like, oh, I know you. And I never met him.
uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, was it a client like 80 years ago? I don't know. So he was telling me that he recorded all the shows that I had. And he said, if I ever need a copy of any of them, to let him know, because he can give me a copy. And he thanked me. And he actually said that I don't know what I taught on there because I was teaching so many different things. Mm-hmm. And he says, whatever I said on there made him get off drugs.
Oh, wow.
I was so surprised. Very nice gentleman. And obviously he didn't look like he was into drugs at this point. But he said some of the shows actually helped him get off drugs. Now, I like to teach like you do because I want to help people. And I have no idea what show did what, honestly.
Right.
But, you know, it really makes you feel good that you're helping somebody inadvertently. You know, it's not like you're out there going, well, if I do this, you need to do this back for me. Because, you know, that never works. It needs to come from the heart. But I was so surprised. And, you know, to this day, there's this little part of me going, what could I have said that got him off drugs?
Yeah.
Because I don't talk about drugs. Yeah, I talk about manifesting and, you know, everything else.
I received an email from one of the folks, one of the organizations that have on the show like every month, like we have a show every month.
Mm-hmm.
And, they got a letter from someone who was in prison and turned their life around. And then in the letter, he said that he used to follow their coming on my show once a month and mention my show by name. And then that felt good. And you wonder, what did I talk about on that day or what did we talk about that day that did it? But you're glad that something that was said actually helped somebody make a positive change in their life.
I know. It really makes you feel good because when you're teaching or explaining things, you know, you're not looking at that. You're looking at what can I say that might give people a little bit of an advantage or to do better or to help them improve their own lives because free will. Yeah, but you don't really ever know the outcome. You don't call people up and go, listen, did that work? Because we know it works. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it makes you feel good when you help people. So,
yes.
And, you know, it doesn't mean that we normally get feedback, but once in a while when we do, at least it's always positive. So it makes you feel
yeah.
good that you're helping people. And what I like with you is you also like to teach because, you know, it's really nice that we can be public speakers and, you know, we're good at what we do in our fields. But when we're actually teaching a little bit, where people can do things for themselves, I love that you and I do that. Because that's why I have the books, because my books are really how-to. They're not about
yeah.
my life. They're not about what I did when I was 12. You know, there's nothing in there really about my life. It's really basically on how people can help themselves. So I find that whoever can use the help in different areas will find my books. And if it doesn't help them or if that's not what they're interested in, they won't. And my publisher, who passed away, Timothy Beckley, because you
yeah.
know him, and a wonderful, wonderful gentleman. And, you know, it was really funny because he kept saying to me, you know, but you don't know what they're getting out of it, or we should really push a book. And I'm like, no, we don't push books. We don't do that, because whoever is going to help will find it. Whoever is not going to help shouldn't get it. And, you know, I was explaining that to him for a couple of years. After a while, he just went, oh, never mind.
I missed him.
But he was a wonderful, oh, me too. He was such a wonderful gentleman, and he was from the heart, and he really tried to help everybody. He genuinely did, you know, and we all miss him. You know.
Yes, we do. Where did you have your TV show?
I used to have it on Channel 21 and 22. I'm out on Long Island in New York, and
okay.
that's why I have that. And actually, one of my students actually put a couple of my shows on YouTube, somebody told me. I don't watch
awesome.
It. I don't know. I didn't even look. You know. So somewhere, if you put my name in YouTube, Amazon, I'm kind of everywhere. I have no idea where at this point except students tell me. Because honestly, it's really funny. I never look at a TV show that I've done in the past. I never listen to the radio shows that I've done. Because I know my field, and what happens is the first time I did a TV show with somebody, and I was being interviewed, and I looked at the first show because I've never done one, and I looked at the show, and I didn't think about what did I say because I've been doing this field full-time since I'm 16, so I don't really think about it. But I looked at it, and I went, what was I thinking when I put the makeup on and my dress? And I was like, oh, no, I'm never watching these again. So after 5 minutes, that was done. I've never seen another one. Because, you know, you're a little bit more self-critical. It's funny.
Yeah, I found the book that I was talking about that I remembered that you wrote, 100% Positive Spells and Incantations for Aladdin's Magic Lamp. I love that title.
Well, people always look at spiritual books, especially the occult, the metaphysical books, and the people that are a little bit more towards the negative, you know, they're going to look at it and say, okay, how can I maneuver something to get what I want? And we don't maneuver, we just focus on positive. So I try to put that word in here and there. You know, it's funny, one of my students said years ago, he says to me, he says, you know, every time I teach a class, I'm always going, we only do positive. He says,
right.
At this point, he says, if he goes to sleep, he's still going to hear, I only do positive.
Good.
So I said to him, I said, the reason I repeat it all the time is so kind of sticks. It's not that I forgot that I said it. It's that I really want people to be automatic with whatever comes up in life. We want to handle it in a positive way. You know?
Right.
But it was funny. He says he was going to sleep hearing it. He's like, don't do that. I said, well, no, this is what I do. I explained why. He goes, well, apparently it's working.
Now, our conversations are always wonderful, and I need to watch the time because before you know it, it's like the end of the show, and we're getting there. We have 10 more minutes left.
It goes
so fast.
I do
want to make sure that people know how to contact you. How can somebody contact you, and what type of services do you provide? You teach, you work with people as clients independently. What are the range of services that you provide for people? You do runes, you do shamanism, you do spells, you teach people metaphysical truths. You do a lot.
You know, so besides the readings and everything else, you know, then I do house cleansing and everything else along that line. And people don't realize most of what we do, we can do at a distance. So we work nationally and internationally because when we're working with energies, you can cleanse the house at a distance. It doesn't mean you have to show up, you know, so there's different levels. And I also do manifesting counseling, for lack of a better term. So I find out what people have as their goals, what they're good at, what they like, what they don't like, what's going to make them happy in what field, or if they're already in a field that they like, and I get them to reach their destination. Whatever the goal is, we work on it until they get there. So I don't really look at it as life coaching because we use a lot of metaphysics.
Right.
So it's a little bit different. We kind of, you know, use pyrite and all sorts of other things that's going to help on that level. But I also do healing, distant healing. And, you know, I'm into faith ministry, so I work, you know, with weddings and things here and there. But basically, more than anything else, I do the counseling on the manifesting level, and I do readings, you know, and classes. So, you know, basically, the way I tell people what I do at this point is if it's not astrology, I do everything else, spiritual, psychic, and paranormal. And what I find interesting, and I know you and I've talked about this on some show, people will ask me, well, if I do psychic readings, does that mean I'm also a medium? And basically, pretty much they're the same thing to me. We handle it in different ways. And you and I see people that have passed away, know, and or have never incarnated in different realms because we do out-of-body travel and things. And pretty much everything that I do, I can teach except, like I said, astrology, because it's not that it's not a wonderful field. It's just that when I can do something immediately on the manifesting level, I don't really have the patience for 8 months of a chart.
Right.
So it's my lack of patience level for that. But I find that anything in the spiritual, psychic, paranormal fields, anybody that calls me, there's very few things except, like I said, except for astrology. I honestly do everything else from all these years, just like you. You know, we're always adding on, you know, and branching out. You know,
right.
And like I said, I have, actually over 24 books by myself, and then I have a lot of co-authored books, so it's over 60-something. Tim, my wonderful publisher, a wonderful friend, after a while he said he stopped counting.
Well, they're still available, like you said, if you go on...
they're on Amazon, Kindle.
Yeah,
and
they're
actually, a lot of my books, if you go to Barnes & Noble on the kiosk, they're on print on demand.
Okay, great.
So they're pretty much everywhere at this point. Which is wonderful because the more people we help, the better. And, you know, you and I love teaching. So I also do public speaking on all the different fields. So next year, if it goes through because it canceled because of COVID when we were supposed to do it, there's a major conference coming up in Albuquerque next year, and I'm one of the speakers. And I think I'm going to be speaking on shamanism.
That is fantastic.
So I travel.
So I know it's a great thing to travel around and talk and be at conferences. I'm doing some through Zoom these days. You know, I get invited to speak at a lot of them through Zoom.
Nice. Yeah, and that's wonderful.
Yes, it is. And I'm also looking to create opportunities for people that I know that I respect what they're doing, and this way we could reach more people. And a lot of people are thinking of that as well. I don't know exactly what's going to happen with Tim's publishing business, but from what I heard, it's going to continue at some point. And then there are other people who were involved who are also going to do publishing. So that bush will flower at some point.
Exactly.
It's not there yet, though.
Exactly. And I'm in the process, and I'm saying in the process because electrical things do not always work well with me. So I find if I'm doing a reading for a while and then I touch something electrical, a lot of times it blows up, shuts down. I've gone through so many toasters, I should have owned stock in the company. So I'm working on learning Zoom. At some point, we're going to be doing that. So,
yes.
And I like that we have that option. I still love when people come over for classes or I'm teaching somewhere because I find that way I have a better feel of how they're reacting, what their questions are. You know. But since Zoom is visual, you know, that's not limiting us the same way anymore as the teleconferences, you know, where we're just doing it on the phone. So that's a positive.
If you want to practice with Zoom, mm-hmm. I can move this show to Zoom. So all you need is a computer and a $20 camera. But it could be like my wife, when she's on Zoom, she uses her, we have one big computer, a dinosaur, which mm-hmm. is where I sit.
Mine too.
And my wife has a laptop, so she uses her laptop. She puts it at the right distance away, and her laptop has a camera already built in. Mine, I have to get a $20 camera from Walmart and mm-hmm. you know, plug into the computer and position it and all this. But if you want, we can do a practice show that, you know, we don't have to worry about going out and learn how to do it. And I'd be glad to do that with you and for you.
Oh, sounds like fun. Sounds really good. Thank you. I appreciate the offer. That would be great.
Well, you're doing great things in the world, and you are definitely reaching people and making a positive difference. And I know in my life, you know, I can count on you to be positive and to be up and to be knowledgeable. And that's a very, you know, big thing because there are so many negative people in life.
Oh,
you know.
I know. Well, I appreciate that because I really try to stay focused on the positive.
You do.
Yeah.
And any projects coming up, anything in the near future, any books or writings or other than this conference, anything shaping up in the near future?
Well, as you know, I am trying to relocate, not at a major distance, but I'm house hunting. So mm-hmm. I don't have as much time at this moment, but I am teaching classes. And right now I'm teaching classes more a couple of people at a time, you know, or groups. And I'm teaching spiritual, psychic, paranormal fields. And I always teach, when somebody comes to me, the first class I always teach is psychic self-defense. And after that, we can segue into different things depending on what their interests are. But I always look at it as, you know, electricity when you're dealing with different realms. So even meditation, because you're opening a portal to a different realm
yeah.
to focus on meditating and to tune in. So I always look at it, it's like electricity. You don't see it, but you don't put your hand in the socket. So I always teach self-defense first, and then we'll adjust to what people are interested in. Yeah, and then I speak at different places now, different events, different organizations. So I've been speaking at different places.
Because you're one of our major sages and seers, anytime you're doing this, if you'd like to help spread the word around, I can definitely post it. I lost my original account on Facebook for a while, and I had over 30,000 people, but I got it back, and I built up a new one.
Nice.
So there's a pretty big network. I'd be glad to share your information. And I was just informed
by
the
wonderful.
We have less than a minute. Thank you, Maria. You're awesome. I wish
okay,
you a great
and, thank you. And you. And I just want to say my cell number is 631-559-1248. And my email is just my first initial last name. So it's mdandrea100@gmail.com.
Thank you so very much. And I'm
okay,
looking forward to our next conversation. Be well, Maria.
Okay, you too. And thank you again. Have a wonderful night. Bye-bye.
You too. And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night.